Good morning, St. Paul's. So I didn't read the news. Did Punxsutawney, I can speak, I should be able to say that, I'm Pennsylvanian. Phil, did he see his shadow or not? Oh, and what does that mean? Early spring. Yeah, I hope so. All right, we have a lot of announcements. It's a busy season because in 2 weeks, Lent starts. So I want to point out a couple things to you. So on the back of your bulletin is the community Lenten services, and they start Sunday, February 18th. We'll be at Chapel Church. I'll be preaching. And then February 25th, we'll be here at St. Paul's Church, and the Bethlehem Stonepile pastor, Bryant Holtzapfel, will be preaching, and you see the rest of them there. Also, Ash Wednesday service will be on Ash Wednesday, which date escapes me right now. What was that? 14th. Oh, that's right. Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day. That's interesting. A couple other things. There's a small insert, looks like this. We want to remind you, and maybe some of you didn't know, that we have an online giving option for you, and it's really easy to do. You can do it through your phone, you can do it through your laptop or your tablet, and these are instructions if you want to give online. Some people find that easier. Some people still like writing a check, and whatever way you do it, we say thank you and God bless. But if you prefer to do online, these are the instructions for you to do so. You'll also see in the inserts an advertisement for the Troop Spaghetti Dinner on... I can't hear you. On the 24th of February, and that is the troop one, and my son Timothy sitting back at the booth with Matt. I'd say he's the one with the beard, but that doesn't narrow it down. But Timothy has tickets for the spaghetti dinner. There is homemade red and Alfredo sauce for you to choose. The troop can also deliver if you want to stay home and have it brought to you. And if you're interested in tickets beforehand, please see him after church, because he does have tickets available. One last thing is also an insert from our congregational meeting a couple of weeks ago, part of our brainstorming, the needs of Red Lion and what we as St. Paul's need to do to grow. There are the ideas. And these are great ideas, and obviously we can't do all of them, nobody can, but we need to start thinking about taking ideas and moving them into actions and doing. So when you get a chance, take those, think about them, pray over them even, and how God wants to work here in St. Paul's. Okay, I think that's enough. Bob? Bob with the prelude. Thank you, Bob. Quick note, our last hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, that's the right hymn. We have the wrong number. 395 is the correct number for that when we get there. And with that, I ask you to please stand as you're able for this morning's greeting. The Lord be with you. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. Therefore, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing a praise to our God in our opening hymn, number 314, In the Garden. And as we're singing, the ushers will come around. If you have any prayer requests or joys to share on the card, put them down there and hand them to an usher. Please be seated. We come now to the time of our service to share in our prayer concerns and our joys. Several prayer concerns today. So from Bob Strickler, prayers for Mary Hake and daughter Kim Farmer. Husband and father Dwight Dick Hake passed away on January 19th. Also for the Dettinger family, husband and father Clarence Dettinger passed away recently. His son, Steve and Bob, were classmates. His son, Steve, and Bob were classmates, good friends that used to work together many moons ago. That was like 5 years ago, right, Bob? Joshua, prayers for Joshua, Michael, is it Flickinger or Flickinger? First one, Flickinger's son had surgery this past week, so prayers for him and his family. And Sherry's been under the weather. As you know, there's lots of nasty things going on out there that people can get. So prayers for her too, Sherry Chubb. Continued prayers for Jody Sprankle's parents. Her mom had a stroke and is still dealing with the fallout of that. And her father has his own health issues. So Jody's got a full plate ahead of her. So prayers also passed in. Prayers for a friend newly diagnosed with breast cancer. And prayers for Joni's husband, Steve Horn. He received the diagnosis of congestive heart failure. So, now, medicine has come a long ways, right? So there's a lot of hope for all of this, and that's what we want to do, is continue to have hope and pray. And I believe that's what I have. So let us take all of this to our Lord in prayer. All-powerful and awesome God, you sit in heaven and reign over all creation. You never tire of caring for us. So we, your children, gather today to lift up our praises and prayers to your great and glorious name. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may be empowered to go out into the world to spread your great message of love, grace, forgiveness, and redemption. We ask that you grant us the courage, the opportunities, and the words to speak so that we can spread this gospel to all in Red Lion and to the entire world. Lord, make us into givers of your hope. Now you showed us through the ministry of your Son that it is your will for all to be healed. So we ask that you cast out this day the demons that bring pain to the body, heal the brokenhearted, and bind up their wounds. And help us to accept that your healing does not always mean a cure, but it does mean wholeness. And so we ask that you bring them and all of us back into a whole and right relationship with you. And Lord, we also lift up our great country to you, and we continue to pray for all of our leaders. And Lord, we pray again and again that your Holy Spirit will work on their hearts to turn them into your servants so that they will live and lead in your ways and in your will. And now we'll take a moment here to silently lift up to you the rest of our prayers that remain on our hearts. And we pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all of God's children say, Amen. It is the first Sunday in February. So aside from communion, which we'll be giving real soon, partaking of. And by the way, let me take a moment to talk about communion and how we do it to remind you. You have a couple of choices. We still have the little... Oh my goodness. You ever have one of those days where the words just, cups, thank you. Cups, how do I forget the word cups? Cups back there with the juice and the wafer in them. The other option is you can come forward and I believe Dave is helping me, will give you the bread and also give you a cup of juice to do so, and you can come up here. By the way, if you come up here, you don't have to kneel. I understand that for many of us, the getting down is real easy, right? Getting up is a whole other issue. So if you'd like to stand, you can. Now, who's welcome to partake in communion? Y'all are. I love that Southern word, y'all. All. Anyone. Jesus breaks through barriers. Jesus doesn't care if you're a member or not a member or a member of some other church. If you're looking to connect with God, connect with Christ, then you're welcome to come forward. Now, before we get to that, though, it is another thing that we like to do here is to make a statement of faith. Sooner or later, if we haven't already, you're going to be asked a very simple-sounding question. So you're a Christian. What do you believe? But it's a good question, right? And Paul tells us that we should always be ready with an answer. Now, fortunately, some pretty bright people before us came up with some basic statements of faith. And so the one we like to use here is the Apostles' Creed, a very simple statement of faith, and one that I have used before to say, if you can confess this, then you are my sister or brother in Christ, period, end of sentence. So please join me in making this public proclamation of our faith in Christ as found in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm sorry, I should have reminded us that there are two words in that creed that sometimes give us pause: the quick and the dead, and Holy Catholic Church. Quick is simply an old-fashioned way of saying the alive. You know, you may not feel quick, but you're quicker than the alternative, the living and the dead. And the other thing is the Holy Catholic Church. You may have noticed that it was a lowercase c. Catholic, in its old original sense, simply means universal. When we say that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we're saying that the Church of Christ stretches all around the world. Now, as we begin our time of communion, we begin with a statement of confession. Our faith and our need for Christ starts with a confession that we're sinners, that we have erred, we have gone astray, we have not been the people that God wants us to be. And we are assured that if we confess our sins, they will be forgiven. And I love those strong words too. Because we live in a time, we've always lived in a time of wishy-washy and maybe and could be and all of that. If we do, they will be. So I ask you to join with me in this prayer of confession, assurance, and pardon. It's found in page 890 in your hymnal, or you can follow along up on the screen. Please join me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. And all of God's children say, Amen. You can now follow along at the beginning of your hymnal. You can follow along up on the screen. Or remember some of these ancient calls and responses. And I always think it's neat that even though we're saying it in a different language, because they didn't speak English at that time, we are saying the same words that the early disciples said. So I say to you, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's such a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, Now you brought all things into being, and you called them good. But when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people here on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. And by his baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant of water and spirit. Now, on the night in which he gave himself up, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said to them, "Take and eat. For this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim that great mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence that we truly are the beloved children of God, let us pray the prayer that Christ taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." At Emmaus, when the bread was broken, your presence was revealed to your followers. As we break this bread this morning, we ask that you reveal yourself in your presence to us as we come forward. You drank the cup of wine with all kinds and types and sorts of people, from temple leaders to lepers, from prostitutes to Pharisees, but through your sacrifice, all are washed clean and all are invited to your heavenly table. And so we ask, Lord, that you let us share this cup of salvation with all of our fellow brothers and sisters at your heavenly banquet. Okay. The body of Christ broken for you, take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you and for others for the forgiveness of sins, take and drink. Just getting myself straight there. It's a tough job some mornings. All right, we come now to the time of our service for the sharing of our tithes and our offerings. And we do so hopefully out of a sense of discipline, of thanks and joy for what God has done for us, and a hope and a prayer that the church will use the money to spread that hope and joy to the whole world. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you and praise you for all that you are and all that you have done for us. And so we call forth your blessings on these gifts. We ask that you multiply them so they may go out to all the earth, so all may come to be saved through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is through him that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes I forget things. Surprise, surprise. So here's a good time for me to fill in the things that I forgot or was just told about for one of them. Next Sunday, the 11th of February, will also be Scout Sunday. So we'll have the Cubs and the Boy Scouts up here helping us. I want to say last year was our 75th year anniversary of the Cub Scouts, and I think the Boy Scouts go back further, do they not? Remember. Yes, thank you. So, Scout Sunday next Sunday. I was told that today Guy Berger passed away. So, some of you may know him, some of you know his family, but Guy Berger passed away. And I forgot to read this, and I apologize, that today's altar flowers are to the glory and honor of God and in loving memory of Marlon Neff, who passed into God's loving arms on January 22nd, 2019, presented by his wife Arlene and family in honor of Arlene's 91st birthday on January 28th. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. We're in the 40th chapter, verses 21 through 31. Isaiah, along with some other books of the Old Testament, are full of Hebrew Jewish poetry. Now, we Americans sometimes have problems with that because that definition, because we're looking for words that rhyme. Well, they don't rhyme. Hebrew poetry has two main parts of it. One is repetition. And you're going to see that here all the way through. We come back. The repetition. There's another one, which is intensification, where they state one thing, and when they repeat it, it gets bigger. So just listen to this, and this is poetic. This is Hebrew poetry telling us about good news. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people, well, they're like grasshoppers. Now he stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? By the way, Jacob is a poetic way of referring to the people, God's people. Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You know, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I hope you heard a little bit of that poetry in there. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Now, our epistle reading is from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. So that means we're in 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. And Paul says, "Now yet, preaching the good news, it isn't something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. really, how terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I'm not subject to that law, I did so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who don't follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I don't ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. I'm going to pause again. Don't you wish we still had some of that left? And we can make this, by the way. I try to find common ground with everyone. All right, little soapbox, just quick one. I believe that even in this day and age of really deep polarization and separation, we still share more in common with each other than we're different. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. I ask that you please stand as you're able to sing the Gloria Patri. I ask that you please remain standing for our gospel reading, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, where in the first chapter, verses 29 through 39. And as soon as they, Jesus and his disciples, left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Well, I just want to pause real quickly there. Did you catch that? Simon's mother-in-law? Simon's also Peter. Peter was married. Anyway, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to look. And went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Hey, everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of our Lord, to which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. So, I want to talk to you this morning, fairly briefly, maybe really briefly, about prayer. Because even though I lost my place while reading it, did you catch that? Jesus took time to pray. That's important. So I found this kind of silly comic with Peter's quiet zone being out on the water because when he walked on water for, okay. But I want to start with something to back it up, and because I'm sure you have heard many, many preachers all say the same things. We need to take time to pray and be in the Word, the Bible. I'm sure you've heard that a million times. So let me try to give a slightly different context. I came across something on the internet, a saying. And as you may know, the internet is like life. There's good places and bad places and trash and gems. And this is what it said. It said, the magic that you're looking for is in the work you're avoiding. So let me break that out for you just to make sure we all understand. And it starts with, we all want to be or to do something, amen? Maybe it's an occupation. You know, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a musician. I want to pick something, right? Maybe it's, hey, I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. I want to run a marathon. I want to be able to, whatever it is that we want to do, there almost always comes a point where we go, this is hard. Because it is, amen? It is hard to go from being bad at something to being mediocre. It's even harder to go from mediocre to being very good at it. And then from very good to excellent is a whole other bunch of stuff. And what happens is, for many of us, we look for shortcuts. Of course, the most obvious example of that is dieting, right? You know, we want a pill, right? One pill. Take it at night, and when I wake up, I'm 20 pounds slimmer, right? And my muscles are 50% big, whatever it is. But it's not how it works. You know, talking with Timothy and others about, you know, being a great trumpet player or a musician, whatever it is, it's practice. What's that old joke? How do you get to, is it Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. And we don't like to hear that, right? Because practice is work. You want big muscles, you have to go to the gym and pick up big weights repeatedly. If you want to be a good teacher, you better study up on your pedagogy. If you want to be a good pastor, you should listen to other preachers and make sure your theology is sound. Are you with me? All of that takes what? Work. But we want a magic pill, amen? So this is where this comes in. The magic that you're looking for is found in the work that you're avoiding. Does that make sense? Now, you ready for this? We want to be deeper in our faith to God. We want to be good people, amen? We want to be the people that God made us to be, doing the things that He made us to do. But we don't put the work into it. Well, Pastor, what do you mean work? It's faith, right? Well, yes, but it's also other things like prayer and being in the Word. John Wesley talked about, and he called these general things, the means of grace. John Wesley loved labeling things and making lists. But what he meant was, there are things that we do, physical work, if you will, that is guaranteed to bring us deeper in our faith and closer to God if we do them, and if we do them with a whole heart and a right mind for why we're doing it. It's almost like a cheat code, you know, if we do it right. The simplest two things. Well, let me back up a minute. Some of the things that he talked about were like taking part in communion. Regular, corporate, public worship. Even things like fasting. The two biggest things, though, are prayer and reading the Bible. Read by yourself. Read in a group. Go to a study group. All of that. And yet, you know what we say? And I'm going to be mean here because I'm going to bet that just about every one of you have said this at one time or another. I don't have time. Okay? And I'm going to be mean again. And I'm going to say, liar! You know darn well you have the time. Because you know darn well that whatever you want to do, you make the time for. I've known people who complained about getting up to go to a 10 o'clock Sunday morning service, you know? But boy, they made time for all their vacations. Oh, and growing up in Bradford County, oh, they made time for hunting, you know? I'm not putting those things down. I'm just saying, is it not true? The things that we really want, we make time for. Do you know how long you really need to be in prayer in a day? 5 to 10 minutes. We encourage you more. We encourage you to do more than read the upper room in a verse. It's a great start, though. Now, how much time are you on social media? How long are you watching Jeopardy or the news? You can't spare 10 to 15 minutes out of your day to pray? And I'm telling you guys, daily prayer, daily scripture reading, joining a Bible study, these are things that will change your life and connect you to God. I mean, God went up there and said, hey, listen, I know I am the great I am. I am an awesome God, and I made everything. But for each and every one of you, I make myself available 24/7. All you got to do is dial me up. Ooh. I mean, to be honest, if he had an Instagram page or if he had a Twitter thing, we would be, you know, tweeting him, right? Asking him stuff. But you know what? All we need to do? Hey, God. And to take time out. Go find a quiet place. Which, boy, that's getting harder to do nowadays. Amen? Put the phone away. Put the tablet away. Find a quiet place. Not for long. Just enough. Prayer. Prayer at its heart is talking to God. Simple. Period. Do I need to close my eyes, Pastor? If it makes it work better for you. But you don't have to. Can I pray with my hands up? Lots of people like to do that. Yes. Can I pray with my hands together? By the way, is it this or this? Yes. Should I be on my knees? How are your knees? Can you get up? If you can get down on your knees, that's a good place to be. If you can't, God understands. Now, I mean, there's some pragmatic things here too, right? If you pray by closing your eyes, as some do, please don't do it while you drive. Okay? It gets noisy really fast if you do that. But by the way, can you pray while you drive? Yes, you can. I know some people, that's a prime prayer time for them. You know? Don't keep your eye off, keep your eye on the road though, okay? Oh, yeah, where can I pray? I can only pray at church, right? Oh, no. I tell you what, it's an easier answer to tell you where you can't pray. Okay? You ready for this? Pastor, where can't I pray? Nowhere. And I just mixed up negatives, right? Everywhere. You want to pray in your bedroom? You can. You want to pray on a bus? You can. You want to pray at school? Okay, be careful losing your job, sadly, but yes, you can pray at school. You can pray in your job. You can pray while you're walking your dog. Are you with me? All those times that God is there going, hello, I'm here, ready to talk to you. And then people give up too easy, too simple. I was reading about John Cena. It just he popped up. He's a wrestler and a movie star. You know this, right? Big guy. Big guy. Very strong guy. And he got asked about working out. And he said, too many people who want to build their body give up after 3 months because they don't look like me now. But he said, it took me 20 years to get this big. You want to have a good connection with God? It doesn't necessarily happen the first time. Can it? Yes. Has it? Yes. Does it typically? Not really. It takes repetition because we have to redevelop our ear for hearing God because he's talking to us all the time. Which is also why it's almost necessary to find a quiet place so we can hear him. And once we redevelop our ear for hearing him, we'll hear him better and better. Now, I don't know if you'll hear a voice or you'll hear a feeling or you'll hear a movement. We all hear him slightly differently, but you will. You'll feel a connection. You'll feel a presence. Same way with Scripture. Now, I've been a little harsh, a little, you know, forthright with you this morning. But we've heard this, right? We want to be the people God wants us to be, so we need to get up off our butts and do the things that God wants us to do. You know, God is not just going to sit there one day and go zap. He wants us to show interest in him. So take time. Separate yourself out. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I know you all got it. Somewhere. And talk to God. By the way, I know I'm going a little long, but how do I talk to God? I don't know. How do you talk to your friends? Guys, don't talk to God like you talk to your guy friends, okay? That's a whole different thing. Okay? You should be a little respectful. But you don't need to start speaking King James. Oh, Lordeth of heaveneth. Come on. God made you. Talk to him like the way he made you. Okay? You know, don't try to descend in slang, you know. Yeah, what's up, dog? It would work. Be better. Hey, God. It's been a hard day today. I know you know that. Could you help me? Help me see this. I got this problem. That's it. There's no secret. And the more you pray, the more you'll figure out the best way to talk to God. Isn't that neat? By the way, it's almost 100% guarantee. Why can I say that? Because God made prayer. It was a gift to us to stay connected. How important is it? Jesus prayed. Jesus, one-third of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Messiah, took time to pray. Are we better than Jesus? We need time to pray, to read the Scripture. It's a new year. We're starting with Lent. Whatever helps you start a new habit, prayer. Pray for you. Pray for others. Pray for the church. Pray for the country. Pray. Read Scripture. Get involved. We have Sunday school classes. We're going to start some Bible studies. And if there isn't one, you come find me and say, we need a Bible study. Got it. Let's work on it. Okay? Take time. Or, as somebody wrote once, take time to be holy. Amen? Okay. And if that sounded like a segue, guess what? It was. So, I ask you to please stand as you are able for our closing hymn, 395. 395, Take Time to Be Holy. And remember, if you're interested in tickets for this spaghetti dinner, my son has them back there. Please receive this morning's benediction. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said here with our lips, we will believe in our hearts. And that what we believe in our hearts, we will go out and live out each and every day of our lives. And we pray all this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of God's children say, Amen.